Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, your fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 4. We'll read verses 12 through 17, and then also verse 23. Now when Jesus heard that John, that is John the Baptist, had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let me jump to verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever been in a place of complete and total darkness before? Now, I don't mean closing your eyes. If you were to close them right now, you can do that if you'd like. You're going to still be able to sense that there is some light out there. Not that kind of darkness, not just switching the lights off in your bedroom, but deep, full darkness. So dark that if you put your hand in front of your face, you couldn't see it. A darkness so deep that you can almost feel it. Have you ever been in a place like that? Have you ever been in darkness like that? A few summers ago, my family and I went to visit and tour a cave in the state of Wisconsin. And during this tour, you come to a very deep and very narrow section of the cave. It's actually the deepest part of the cave, and it is extremely narrow. And they warn you and they brace you and they say, "We're going to shut off all the lights so you can experience full and complete darkness for a few moments." And let me tell you, if you are even the least bit claustrophobic, that is not the place for you, lights on or lights off. But I'll also admit in all honesty that I was glad they didn't leave those lights off for a moment longer. It's a bit unsettling. It's a bit frightening. If I'm going to be completely honest, I probably didn't handle the darkness as well as the 2-year-old nephew I was holding in my arms. I think he handled it better than I did. In a situation like that, you are desperate for even a little bit of light. A small flashlight, maybe a candle, even a lighted match would do a world of good in a place that's that deep and that thick with darkness. Well, our text for this morning speaks of people who are trapped and sitting in darkness. A darkness that was even deeper and more complete, even more frightening than that confined space at the bottom of a dark cave. The darkness referred to in our sermon text and in our reading from Isaiah is the darkness of sin, of unbelief, and death itself. However, our text also speaks of a light. Not a little light like the light of a candle or a small flashlight, but of a great light, as Matthew says. A light that completely obliterates and eradicates the darkness. That light, of course, is Jesus Christ. In this, our second sermon in this Epiphany series about Jesus being revealed, we look at how Jesus is revealed in the Scriptures as being the light of the world. Jesus himself once called himself that. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. Where there is light, there simply cannot be darkness. When you walk into a dark room, no matter how dark it is, even in the bottom of that deep, dark cave, if you turn the lights on, there is no more darkness. There can't be. Where there is light, there cannot be darkness. And that's what God did, in a sense, when he sent Jesus into this world. In our gospel reading from the first chapter of John, we read this: "In him," in Jesus, "was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And that word for comprehend there in the Greek is actually a word that means literally to seize or to grasp with force. And so that verse could also be translated this way: "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overpower it." Where Jesus is, where Jesus, the light of the world, is, there can be no darkness. Jesus overpowers it. Where Jesus is, there is forgiveness. There is healing. There is light, and there is life. Now, these areas that are spoken of in our text were the regions around Galilee. These were the areas where Jesus spent much of his ministry while he was here on this earth. That area was populated predominantly by Gentiles, people who were non-Jews, but it also did have a good amount of Jews living in that region as well. And so this mixture of pagan foreigners did have an effect on the religious life of the people in that region. While the worship of the true God was there and followed by some, that area of that region was actually had departed by and large from the worship of the true God that God himself had called for. And so that quote from Isaiah that we have in our text for today describes this region as a people who sat in darkness. And speaking of their spiritual situation and the spiritual situation in general of that region. People who sat in the region and shadow of death. This darkness of false belief, unbelief, and sin reigned in that region. That is, until Jesus came. And so our text quoting from Isaiah tells us that Jesus fulfilled that passage, that prophecy from Isaiah. It says, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned." Jesus, the great light, the light of the world, came and spread that light and shed it on all people. How did he do this? Our text tells us that at that time he began to preach. And he began to say things that brought people the light. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We also read, "He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Jesus came preaching repentance, a turning away from darkness and sin, and turning to the light of Jesus, the light of life. He came preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of heaven. The good news was good news about himself, that he had come to be the savior of mankind, to come and take the darkness and sin, the darkness of their sin, upon himself, and give them the light of life, the light of forgiveness. And he came to do this for both the Jews and the Gentiles of that region, and for the entire world. He would, of course, complete this good news himself by offering his life as the perfect sacrifice on the darkness of that cross on Good Friday, and then the glorious light of his resurrection on Easter morning. Notice that Jesus came to be a light for all people amidst this darkness. He came to be a light from sin and all of its effects. Jesus didn't just come to this region and walk this earth preaching and teaching. Our text also tells us that he came healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. He came to heal us from sin and even the effects of sin. That, of course, will be perfectly restored to all of us when we reach his kingdom of heaven. I begin our sermon this morning asking you if you've ever been in complete and total darkness before. And even though I don't know if you visited a very dark place like the bottom of a cave or not, I can say with certainty that all of us here today, you and I, have all experienced complete and full darkness in our lives. In fact, everyone who's ever been born into this world has experienced the fullest and most complete darkness at one point in their lives. By our nature, when we are born people who sit in darkness, who sit in the region of the shadow of death. We're born lost, born in utter darkness, headed for utter eternal darkness. But Jesus, the great light of the world, has dawned on each one of us. Jesus eradicated and dispelled our darkness by preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of heaven, to us. Now, maybe he didn't do so personally like he did when he traveled around the regions of Galilee, preaching and teaching the kingdom from the words of his own mouth. But he gives it to us through the word. He also has done it through maybe his representatives, maybe your parents, as Nick and Aaron have done today, bringing Claire here to hear the word of God, to be baptized into his family. Maybe it came through Christian teachers, Sunday school teachers, Christian day school teachers, or pastors. Jesus still comes to us through these people in our lives who use the very word of God. But he also comes to us directly. Comes to us in that word through the message of the forgiveness and light he came to bring. He comes to us in the word and in the sacraments, as we will see today. Comes to us in the miracle of the water and the Spirit, baptizing us in his shed blood, washing away our sins. He comes to us in the bread and wine, in which we find his very body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, comforting us in our troubled hearts by telling us, you personally are forgiven. Now that we've had the sun, the S-O-N, shine on us, the light of the world shine on us, something amazing has happened to us who once sat in darkness. Jesus has made us not people of darkness, but he's actually made us lights in this world. Lights that reflect his light. As a matter of fact, he tells us in Matthew's gospel, you are the light of the world. It's a striking passage, isn't it? We always think of Jesus as saying, I am the light of the world, but he tells us, you are the light of the world. He wants us to be lights that reflect his light and that point people to that one great light of the world, Jesus Christ. I don't think I need to remind you just how dark a place this world can be, or how spiritually dark this region of our country is. In fact, you could probably say we live in an area that is much like the region that is spoken about in our text. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the Galilee of the Gentiles. A region of people who sat in darkness, who sat in the region and shadow of death. If you read some of the surveys of the Bay Area, you will see that they consistently show that this area is the most unchurched, means referring to people who do not attend church, and the most de-churched, refers to people who have left church for one reason or another, the most de-churched and unchurched area of our country, and it is not even close. The Bay Area also is ranked sixth in this country in the percentage of people who have never actually been to church. When we hear studies like that and think of the region and the area we live in and the darkness that surrounds us, it can be overwhelming. We can feel like the darkness is overcoming us. We might even be tempted to despair because it seems like our lights aren't all that large or all that great. Our lights individually seem so small. Our light as a small congregation here in the South Bay might seem very small as well. But remember what I said earlier in the first part of the sermon. In complete darkness, even a little light makes a huge difference. That's when light shines the brightest, in the darkness. That's why God encourages us in his New Testament to let our light for Christ shine. Let that great light of the world shine and reflect that light. As Matthew says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul also reminds us in Ephesians, you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And the Apostle Peter reminds us that we are called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we may proclaim the praises of God. Have you ever been in complete and total darkness before? Yes, you have. I have too. And we all know people who are living in darkness, without the light of the world, Jesus Christ, shining on them. God in his grace has revealed that light to us. The light of salvation through Jesus Christ to you and to me. And he wants us to go with that light and share that light to his glory. Where Jesus is, there can be no darkness. So let's share and shine that light of the world to the world. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.